All right, well, y'all know where we're going, don't you? Y'all ready there? All right. Some of y'all ready there, on top of things. Some people pay attention. Tell you what, it's going to matter when you stand before God if you pay attention or not. Many that are first are going to be last, and many of the last are going to be first. And it's the ones who pay attention is the ones that's going to be rewarded now, I'm telling you. Better pay attention to the Word of God. Do you know God said one time, He said, he that turneth away his ear from hearing my word, I will not hear his prayer. So God says, you won't listen to me, I won't listen to you. And that's a fact. And that's where are you going to listen to God? Where are you going to listen to Him? If it's not when the Word of God is being preached, then when are you going to listen to it? Most people live in a fantasy kind of religion where it's all this spook and booger stuff, you know, feelings. Everybody lives on feelings. And they run on feelings. And they judge everything by feelings. And they make their decisions and they act and react by feelings, not by the Word of God, not by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will lead you in different directions than your feelings will lead you. Better learn that lesson. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read these again, verses 5 through 11. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You ought to be getting familiar with those verses. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Pray you'd bless it now to our hearts. Lord, we need your unction this morning. We need your Word to have free course. And I pray you'd help us with these few thoughts here. Big subject this is. We could go on and on and on. But I pray you'd help us this morning to hit these points. And Lord, that we'd all think about these things and apply them in our life in Jesus' name. Amen. And examine ourselves to see if we're being the faith. Do diligence to make your calling and election sure. Brethren, better be sure. Add to your faith charity. Now, we've talked about these things and how that adding them to your faith is not a mechanical act that we do. This is not either. You don't add charity just of your will and your practice at it, and it's not something you learn to do. It's something that grows in you. It's something that you become conformed to. Now, do you see the difference in what I'm talking about? It's not a good deed. It's not good deeds that we do. You can give gifts to people. You can do nice things for people. You can practice these things and do your good deed every day and not have charity. I told my wife one time here a while back, she got kind of fussed at me, but we walked across the street and I said, well, I've done my good deed for the day. I helped a little old lady across the street, and then she didn't take that very well. So you guys don't try that. They get mad if you say things like that. But a lot of people think that they can just do a good deed every day. They can do something nice once in a while and they're charitable. No, sir. It's not deeds you do. It's what you are. It's an attitude of your heart. It's a mindset of your mind. It's where your mind runs. It's where your heart runs first, not last, not second. It's not an afterthought. It's the first thing that you think. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But let me go back here, and we're going to go to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, but I'm not going to stay there. I'm just going to read it, and we're going to go on. We've preached on that, and preached on that, and preached on that. You've memorized that whole chapter, some of you have, different times in your life. You've memorized that chapter. We ought to know what it says. We ought to know what charity is, because we've thought about it. We've memorized it. I've preached on it. We've listened to others preach on it. But I'm going to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. It is the love chapter, the charity chapter. Charity is defined and described so very accurately and clearly in these verses here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am
nothing.
Nothing. That's why you're to add to your faith. That's why this blueprint is given here. This roadmap, this definition, this description in this verse here, add to your faith. This is how it works. It's not a series of commandments that were, no, he's describing what faith and growth and grace looks like. And he's saying, you better do diligence, brethren, to make sure that your election and calling is sure. Now you better make sure that your election and calling is sure. Do diligence, because this is what it looks like. Now you, this is the mirror. Look in it. Is that you? If it ain't, then you better be awakened up and realize you better go back, not to your charity, not to your godliness, not to your temperance, not to your patience, not to your knowledge. You better go back to your faith and see if you really got anything at all. Or if you've just been deceived and you're just faking it, trying to fake it till you make it, as they say. That's what a lot of people are doing. More people than you think. Charity, this is what it looks like. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, this sounds like a real fine person. They understand all mysteries. Godliness. I mean, they got it all. And they're willing to even be martyred for the sake of God. But no charity. No. It cancels out everything. Last thing on the list here about growing in grace, charity. Add to your faith charity. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I get all of them. You ever know anybody did that? You ever know anybody just gave all everything I had away to feed the poor because they just cared so much? You can do that and not have charity. Now, you need to think about that. You know, there's this thing, we've talked about it before, but people have this mindset that I can do a little good and that offsets the bad. It buys me some time. It buys me some space to do a little bad. I mean, the little good that I do makes up for all this bad. So it's like a scale and I'm just balancing it out. I've done bad, so I'm going to do some good here. And surely that'll appease the Lord. Surely that'll make everybody else, that'll fix everything with everybody else. That's the way people look at life. And people go into this thing of God and their soul and everything at stake for eternity, and they got that kind of mindset. I'll do a little good, but that buys me the right. And they don't consciously, they would never say that, but that's the way they feel in their heart about it. That's their real philosophy about things. That since they've done this good, that atones for the bad they've done. Make up for it. Make up for it. No, you don't make up for it. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Do you notice the similarities between this and what we're adding to our faith in 2 Peter chapter 1? Kindness, godliness, all that stuff. Kind. Charity is suffereth long. It is kind. And charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Brotherly kindness is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. How about that one? Thinketh no evil. How about that one? Doesn't think a little bit of evil, thinketh no evil. And that's talking about thinking evil of other people. That's what it is. Thinking no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. You know, the person that has charity doesn't revel in the iniquity of other people or in the any negative thing about other people. Charity is given. Charity is always putting the best face on, the benefit of the doubt. Always looking for the good and not the evil. That's charity. Rejoiceth not in iniquity and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. To the point of nails in your hands and thorns on your brow and spit in your face.
Yes, sir.
And cursed your name bears it. Bears it. Believeth all things. Well, I don't mean you believe every lie that comes down the pike. That ain't what that's talking about. You believe all things that are true. You believe them. You embrace them. You rejoice in the truth, not in iniquity, not in lies, not in anything that's not true. Thinketh no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Hope is part of faith. Faith makes you look for what you cannot see right now. Faith takes the ugly face off of right now and lets you see the possibility of the future. Faith. That's the faith of Jesus. We talked about that a week or two ago. Have the faith of Jesus. He looked at people for what they could be with His help, with His life in theirs instead of them living their own life. And that's the faith of Jesus. We look at other people the same way. That's charity. Endureth all things. Endureth all things. No matter what happens, no matter what hardships, no matter what afflictions, no matter what injustices, no matter what happens in our life, no matter what kind of health problems we have, no matter what kind of poverty we suffer, no matter what, we endure it. Charity will make it through. Charity, the next words are, charity never faileth. And I've always took that to mean two different ways. It accomplishes what it naturally does. Charity. It never fails to accomplish its purpose. And it never ceases to act. Charity never ceases to exist. Charity never ceases. You don't love today and hate tomorrow. You know, there's no such a thing as this falling out of love. That ain't charity. That ain't love. I've heard people say, I don't love you anymore. You never did. That's right. Charity never faileth. Now, the Bible says that. I believe what the Bible says. I don't believe what people feel. I don't believe what people say. I don't believe people's experiences. I believe what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, charity never faileth. So that's the way it is. The Bible, like I read the other day, somebody said, the Bible is, I don't care, the Bible is authoritative, you are not. I believe the Bible. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Doesn't matter whether you act on it or not. Whether you obey it or not. The Bible is the authority, whether you acknowledge it or not. So, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. All the rest of this stuff may disappear, but not charity. And then in the last verse of that chapter, it says this, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is what? Charity. Not faith, not hope, charity. It's the greatest. It's the greatest. It's the one thing that defines and identifies us as the children of God in the minds of other people. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know Now, how are all men going to know that we are his disciples? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you go to the synagogue every week, that you throw in, that you tithe. I mean, that you dress right, that you talk right, that you do good things. Is that how everybody's going to know? No. That you have love one to another. They're going to know that you're mine because you love. You really do. Doesn't matter what people do. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what your lot is. Doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't change. It is the steady in the life of a Christian that's real. It is the result of real faith in God that saves a soul. It never fades. It never ceases. It never fails. And it overcomes. Like brotherly kindness, charity has no qualifications or requirements before it is applied. No obligation. The obligation to love has nothing to do whatsoever with the character of the object of love, of the love. We love. We love because God loves us. We love because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. I mean, the sun is bound to shine on the dunghill as much as it is on the diamonds and the gold of this world. That's the way charity is. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They don't have to qualify for our charity. They don't have to be qualified. They don't have to meet requirements. They don't have to be vetted for us to love them. It doesn't matter who they are. Not this kind of love. Our obligation to love others has a far deeper source than just the accidents of their character. You understand what I'm saying? You don't know how come people are like they are. And you don't even understand what they are, really. We just pick, like, you know, cherry picking the best off of the top. We cherry pick the worst off of the top, and then we judge the whole person by that. And say, well, they ain't worthy of love. They're a wretch. That ain't charity. I want you to know that ain't charity. Now, I don't care who you are, whoever's listening. And there's a whole lot of people listening besides you. If every one of you plug your ears, I'm going to go right on a preaching because there was 150 people downloaded last week's messages yesterday. So that's more than what's here, for sure. And that's people who want to hear and want to listen and comment back and say, thank you for telling the truth. That's all that keeps me going, really, is somebody's listening. Some woman wrote this week, and listening to one of those messages on men from out in Arizona, some woman, and she said, thank you, thank you. She said, every woman, every single woman, every mother, every grandmother needs to hear this on the making of a man. You need to listen. But I'm telling you the truth. That's the way it is. Charity does not examine somebody to see if they pass our test and meet our qualifications as to whether they are worthy of our charity or not. Amen. Any type of love that does this is selfish, proud, human love that has nothing to do with divine love. The love of God has nothing to do with the love of God. God don't love like that. He doesn't. He don't look you over and size you up and say, well, maybe I'll love you if you'll fix this and this and this. But until then, no. That's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. You know, a person has to get past this notion that love is emotion and feelings before he can even begin to understand what true charity is. Are you listening to me? It's so deep ingrained in us that love is emotion and feeling that we can't even separate it out when we read the Word of God, and it tells us very plainly about that. If we don't feel this warm feeling, we don't love them. We just don't love them. We cannot look past the things that are unlovable and go ahead and love somebody like God does. You better thank God that He don't look at you that way if you're that kind of a person. I mean, He died for you when you were yet sinners, all of us. He died for us when we were yet sinners. He commendeth His love toward us in that He, while we were yet sinners, He died for us. Now that's proof. And we won't even be kind to somebody. We won't even have mercy on somebody, let alone die for somebody that we don't think loves us or isn't worthy of us. Amen. Charity. I'm just telling you what it is. And I've got the Bible right here. I mean, it is Bible. You cannot argue with this. It's the facts of what it is. Ain't no such a thing as God loved the world like the world loves the world. You got to get past this idea of emotion involved in it. Love is not emotion. No. Love is godliness and kindness and brotherly love and all of those things. It's the sum of that. That's why it's on the end here. You add all these things together, this is what you come up with. Well, let me see here. The true charity can't exist without these other graces that have been added to our faith. Virtue, knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness. And man, I can just go back and hammer every one of them and show you clearly how that they're each one a part of charity. You have to have virtue. What is virtue? Does anybody remember? One word. What's virtue?
Strength.
We were talking about it the other day, and she said to me, you know, the deal where Jesus, the woman touched the hem of his garment and he perceived that virtue had gone out of him. Helps you understand, don't it? He felt the strength, the influence, the power that woman drew from him. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. All these things, I could hammer each one of them. How that they are necessary. And they add up to charity. Can't just say, I'm going to have charity. I'm going to have charity. No, it's a thing. That's why this whole thing that I've been preaching about, it's Christian growth. It's growth in grace. Listen to me. This is what happens if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you believe His Word, and then you learn about it, and you add knowledge to your faith, these other things grow. They grow. This is the flower. This is the fruit. Remember I mentioned that last week about brotherly kindness. You start seeing the fruit. For a long time, a tree grows with no fruit. For a long time, a plant grows, and you don't see the fruit. The plant's got to be there first. The foundation, the building has to be there before there can be any fruit. What's the fruit? Brotherly kind, and then charity. It's the flower. It's the fruit. It's the it is the culmination of it. It's the summation of it all. This is what it comes to. That's what I'm saying. This is what it comes to. That's why you can give your body to be burned and not have charity and it don't count for nothing. You can give all your goods to the poor and it ain't going to count for nothing if there's no charity, because there ain't no real faith there. There ain't no reality there about your religion. It's vain. And charity. Charity is the sum of all those graces, and therefore it's the last thing mentioned here. Charity is not just what we practice, but it's what we are. It's the attitude of our heart toward others. And you listen to me. Are you listening to me? It is the first attitude of your heart to others. It is not second. It's not an afterthought. This is not how charity works. You see somebody and it's rah, and they're disgusting and I hate them and rah, rah, and then you grab a hold, something grabs a hold of you and says, now you shouldn't be that way. And then you say, nah, well I shouldn't be that way. That is wrong for me to be that way. That's not charity. No. Charity is the first thought, the first attitude. If you have charity, your first thought is going to be good. You're going to be sniffing, looking, hearing for good. Not evil. Charity thinketh no evil. If God doesn't impute sin to some people, why should we do it? And why do we think we can get away with it? Blessed is the man to whom God imputeth not iniquity. If God's forgiven you, now that's part of faith and believing in God. I mean, that's the whole issue is our sin. We're guilty. We're a criminal. We're going to go to hell. We're condemned of God and we're going to be separated from God forever. And then we find out that He sent His Son to die in our place. And He made provision for the forgiveness of our sin through the blood, through the death of Christ. And we avail ourselves of it. And we say, yes, Lord. And we're forgiven. Then there is no way that we can look at others with that kind of attitude of no forgiveness. That's why Jesus said, if you don't forgive them that trespass against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. It's the first attitude of our heart. It's not something that reins us in from our hatred and evil thinking, but something that happens in our minds and our hearts first. I can look at my life. I can look at my heart and I can see that developed in my life. I used to not be this way at all. I looked for evil in other people. It's a habit you get into. It's a habit. You think evil of other people. It's the destruction. I've seen it destroy churches. I've seen it destroy lives, families. I've seen it destroy individual people, just destroy them. It's something, and seeing that and not being completely stupid, I learned by watching, reading the Word of God, by having my own guts cut out of me, I learned to stop doing that. I learned to start looking for good in people. And I have hope for everybody. I do. You know, I've lived long enough to see some terrible wretches come to God. And be thankful that I didn't have the say about their direction or their soul or the authority to pass judgment on them back when I thought I knew so much. Because I'd have thrown them off into hell because they wasn't worth nothing. Thank God He had patience with me enough to wait on me to grow up in the Lord. Now I don't look at people like that. I don't care how ornery you are. I don't care how mean you are. I don't care how foolish you are. I have hope for you. And all I want to do is encourage you to just stay put, sit still, listen to the Word of God, and wait. God will deal with you and God will help you. Yeah. I don't want to run you off. I don't want you to run off mad at me over me telling you the truth. No, I want you to know I love you and I have great hope for you. And I can see what you can be. And I want you to get to know the Lord. And I want you to understand these things. That's why I'm preaching on this. You know, I know this is a reality. I've come the same way everybody else come. You know, you just do not know. If you knew what God's done in my life, you'd listen a little better. But you don't know. You just know me for prayer right now. You don't understand. You just don't understand. And we ought to look at everybody else. Everybody is far deeper than we give. We look at men as trees walking. We just look at them as things. We look at other people and we see their face and we see a few little things they do, and we don't even take into account their whole life and everything that's made them what they are. The accidents of their characters, what I was talking about a while ago. You have no idea. Nobody here has no idea about anybody else here. And we're family, a lot of us are. And we've been around each other a lot. And friends, and we know one another, we think, but we sure don't look very deep into even us, let alone the stranger out there, let alone the other people, let alone these wretches and these reprobates. They look, that's what they look like. We don't know what in the world. That's why this is so, so important. We ain't going to do no good as a church. We ain't going to do no good as individual Christians. I mean, our life's going to amount to nothing and maybe be a negative on the kingdom of God if we don't get this down and if we don't really do diligence about this stuff to make sure of ourselves in this stuff here. This is where true saving faith in Christ brings a person. They'll be best described as charitable. And that word just doesn't even do justice to it. Charitable in all things and toward all people. A charitable person is one who I have described here by the word and what it means. It's the result. Having charity. Real charity. Godly love. It's the result of the love of Christ dawning in our own heart that makes us love those who Christ loved and gave His life for. When you get to hating on somebody, or you get a bad attitude towards somebody, or you just look at somebody and you just think, what a low life. I mean, you better stop. You better just stop right there. I'm telling you, what's the fact? Do you realize that God loves them just like He loved you? You need to think about that. They are God's creature just like you are. You ain't standing on no higher ground. What in the world is it? Pride. Where'd that pride come from in you? How'd you get into the kingdom of God without getting rid of that? You look at people and realize you're standing on the same flat ground as they are. And you're made out of the same dirt that they are. Ain't nobody low. Now they may be low living. They may be stupid. They may say the dumbest things. Has anybody here ever said anything that you wish you hadn't said? Everybody ought to raise both hands. Because ain't none of us in here ain't guilty of that. Some more than others. Well, I'm just glad that don't disqualify me from being loved. Yeah. Well, that applies to me. Now, that's the way I look. That's the way it looks now. But when I look out the other way, then I need to keep all that in mind. Yeah, I sure do. I need to realize that God, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. God's kind to the unthankful and the evil. He's kind to them. I say that so much, but man, when I'm dead and gone and you're still here, I want you to remember some of these things I told you. And when you hear them, I want you to think, He told us, He told us, He told us. God's kind to everybody. If we're His, then we're going to be kind to everybody. If we're going to reflect in our life Christ in a reality. I mean, if we're just religious and we're faking it and we're just complying for the time till something better comes along, then you ain't real. If you are really going to be a Christian and you're going to be an ambassador for Christ in this world, you're going to have to show the world what He's like. And you can't do that just because you want to, just because you decide to. He's got to be real in your life. This stuff grows in you. What's your part? Yielding to God. You listen to the Word of God. And you obey the Word of God. And you yield your heart and your life. And you quit fighting Him and everybody else. You yield. Amen. You become pliable in His hands instead of hard. Well, I got some more things to say. I want to hurry up and get through this here. But it's the result of Christ, the love of Christ, dawning in our heart. We realize that He loved, how could we not love somebody He loves? You know, if I love you, how can I hate somebody that you love? Don't see how that could be, do you? I just don't see how that could be. How can I hate somebody that Christ loves? What does that do between me and Christ? It just don't work. No, sir. If you and me, if I love you and you love me, and then I hate somebody that you love, that's going to cause a problem in our relationship. Yep, sure is. It's going to cause a problem between you and Christ when you hate anybody then, or I hate anybody, or if I think evil, because thinking evil, charity don't do that. Charity looks for the good. It looks for the good. That's what Christ does, doesn't he? What good was there in that woman at the well in John chapter 4? What good was there in that woman caught in adultery? Well, Jesus saw some. He saw some hope. He had hope. He had faith. He believed. He knew what they could be. Mary Magdalene, on and on and on. Peter, oh my, Peter. If anybody deserved to be hated, it was him. Right? He was always saying stupid stuff, outlandish stuff, yet plumb missing the mark. One time Jesus even said to him, directly to Peter, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And all Peter was doing was trying to take up for him, telling him how he's going to defend him, and they wasn't going to do that to him. And Jesus said, "Satan, get away from me. You're so far from the mark." "Oh, but go and tell my disciples and Peter that I'm risen, and I'll meet him in a certain place." Then he said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." And it wasn't Peter, it was what Peter said. It was what Jesus saw in Peter that everybody else didn't see at that time. Built his church on that. You see? Oh, it pays to be charitable. There's so many rewards to it. You get life. That's why it says that if you lack these things, you're blind and you can't see afar off. You can't see a few years down the road. You can't see how things might develop. You have no vision for that. It's just the right here and now and what's going on right now. And what I want, what I think, and what I believe, and what I need, hang everybody else. Don't, that's charity. No charity. Don't see far off. You're blind. Charity helps you to see. You look at people and say, "Wonder about 20 years from now. What are they going to be? What are they going to be in my life?" Man, I've seen this through the years so much. It's just, we was talking about it the other day. And maybe I shouldn't say things like this, but I had an uncle. And he had some daughters. He had a daughter. She got pregnant when she was 16 years old. And he disowned her. He wouldn't speak to her. He wouldn't be in the same room with her. He wouldn't stay in the same house with her. For years, he wouldn't have anything to do with her. He just totally disavowed everything he had to do with her. Well, he was crippled, and he ended up in a nursing home. And everybody, and then his wife left him. Of course, you know, bitterness and all that. That's not conducive to a good home spirit. I mean, her mom didn't forsake her. Well, yeah, she did wrong. She was wicked. She did wrong. But no forgiveness, no mercy, no forbearance at all about anything. No bearing all things. He didn't bear nothing. I ain't going to put up with this. She shamed me in front of the whole town. I ain't going to have it. I ain't going to have nothing to do with her. To prove to everybody, I guess. But you know, he got sick. Everybody else forsook him. He's in the nursing home. You know who came and looked after him? Who do you think came and looked after him? Not the daughter, but her, that little baby that he wouldn't even see, wouldn't have nothing to do with, wouldn't even acknowledge. She was the one who came. You better have, if you have charity, it'll give you some foresight. You'll be able to see afar off a little better. You'll be able to think and reason and look at the circumstance. You'll be able to realize that I don't know what's going to happen, but I know this. There ain't no telling how important they'll be in my life years from now. Better be nice to people. Better love people. It pays off in the long run. It pays off here on earth, let alone in eternity with God. It doesn't matter how unlovable a person may be. Charity makes us realize that Christ loved that person enough to die for him, and so we can love him like Christ loved him also. That's what charity does for us. It enables us to do that. Charity, it's not a thing. It's what we become. It's not a trait, a character trait. It's what we become. It's the way of life, the way our mind works. It's the way our heart feels. You know, love is not a feeling, but love does produce feelings. You get me? That's the truth. True love does produce emotion. But people have missed the boat. They think that the feeling is the love. And that's not what it is at all. What everybody's getting married in now is lust. That's the fact of the matter, man. Plain fact of the matter. People are getting married because they look at one another and they're cute and they're attractive and they're sexy and I want to marry you. That's it. They don't really love one another. They don't even know one another. How can you? That's not love. All right, let me hurry up here. Charity stands in direct opposal to human nature that is corrupted by sin. Now, this is not something that comes naturally to us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we entered into this world, we learned it. We became a sinner. Yes, we did. And we had to be forgiven of our sins, redeemed. Our sins had to be atoned for. We had to be forgiven. We had to come to that place where we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Ain't no other way. Ain't no other name given among men under heaven whereby men must be saved. You can't be saved any other way except through Christ and forgiveness of sin. And so until we came to that point, we trained ourselves diligently to get what we wanted and to have our way. And to consider everything that came before our eyes, our mind, our heart, everything in our life, we trained ourselves to examine how it's going to affect us first. If it's good for me, bad for me, if it's gain to me or not. Selfishness. Charity is directly opposed to selfishness. It is the absolute opposite. And so, selfishness is the first rule of life and the first consideration of a person who's under the dominion of sin. There's something in every person that urges them to give when they see a fellow human being suffering and in want. I believe that's true. But then there's a controversy that begins in here. That's right. Everybody's first inclination is, oh, you know, that needs... Well, here, but then it's, wait a minute, whoa, let me think about this. Well, now, how'd they get in this mess? I mean, is there anybody else that can help them? Is there anybody else that ought to help them? You know, is this going to help them if I do this? Or, you know, then all these considerations, but really, the root of under all of that is, it's mine, and I don't want to turn it loose. It's a way to escape benevolence. It's a way to escape. It's self a fighting. That's what it is, y'all. It ain't common sense and intelligence and being responsible and all of that. No! It's plain old rotten selfishness. Yes. That's what raises its head and starts excusing. Because the first inclination is you want to help. But then you think, well, boy, I need it too. And I don't know if I can or not. I know. Everybody's reasonable. Well, I'll tell you what, there is sometimes. Yeah. Selfishness is what it is. I'm telling you how it works. Charity is directly opposed to selfishness. And there's also something in that person that looks for a reason not to help or not to show mercy. And in the person who's still under the dominion of sin, there's always a way to avoid being charitable. There's always an excuse not to. You can't truly love somebody and dishonor and disrespect them. You just can't do that. And you can say, I love you. But, and then, you know, it's just words. Charity requires that we do violence to ourselves. Y'all listening? This is so important. Man, it's just... Charity is opposed to what we are naturally because of our sin and what we've become in our sin. Charity is the other end of growing in grace. You're a sinner. You come to God. You're saved. You begin to grow. Charity should be manifest in our life. Now, there ought to come a time when that's what we are. We got to grow. We got to add these things to our faith. There's a time when we've got to forbear and bear with people as they grow and until they come to understand and until God works this into them. That I can read it to you. It's what the Bible says and it's the truth. And that's what you ought to be. But that don't make you into what it is. Y'all understand? I can preach till doomsday to some of you and you ain't there. But me saying it and reading it out of the Bible, and although it's true, that doesn't make you there. I mean, there's a time. You have to grow into it. But you better grow into it. You better be growing. There better be some adding. That tree that's going to bear this fruit better be growing. Amen. Charity requires that we do violence to ourselves. I'm talking about denying ourselves. I'm not talking about cutting ourselves and you know, bleeding on the altar and all that stuff like prophets of Baal and like idol worshipers and like these demon-possessed people of the world are doing now. No, I saw the other day where they're going to start taking into the army cutters and drug addicts and all that. That's what we need. Let them in the military. Nothing wrong with them. No, they got big problems, and they need those problems dealt with. And you just can't do that. All right. You got to deny yourself. Charity requires that we deny ourselves. You got to do violence to yourself. Even though you want it, even though you might be right, even though you might deserve it, even though you might need it more than they do, charity denies self. We've got to esteem others better than ourselves. Do you all realize the Bible says that? And it's in the form of a command. Let each esteem other better than himself. Now, how much do you do that? Or do you look around and think, no, I'm the top dog. Ain't nobody going to back me down. Ain't nobody going to run over me. I'm going to have it my way. At home, at church, at work, on the road, in the car, at Walmart, in the checkout. I mean, Gary, has anybody ever come through there like that? Belligerent, going to have her own way? It's pretty common, ain't it? I mean, that's the way of the world. That's the way of the unregenerate, the lost. God's people are not to be that way. Plain. Add to your faith these things. Let each esteem other better than himself. I remember Brother Earl Hughes, you've all heard him say it different times, and you've heard me say that he said it, but humble. He was a humble person. I never sensed any pride in him whatsoever. And he preached one time, he was talking about to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he said, well, you know, the Jews first before me. And he said, I just thought about that. He said, somebody's got to be first. As long as I get in somewhere, I don't care if somebody else is first. I don't have to be first. Do you have that attitude? Well, charity has that attitude. You go first. It's lost in this dark day that we live in. People used to open doors for other people and just polite things like that. No, you go. Give place. Give way. Politeness. Courtesy. It was a product of people who had charity in a world that used to be. Which isn't anymore. Now it's strange doctrine in church. We're so ingrained in our pride and in our selfish ways that this is unpalatable for some. Can't take it. Excuse it. Argue with it. Reason it away with that relative reasoning. And annul it in your own mind. Charity requires that we do violence to ourselves. And even the Bible says in one of the epistles, even as we heard the Lord Jesus say, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Better to do it that way than it is to keep it for yourself. To the person who's led by the Spirit of God, and sin does not have dominion over them, there's always a reason to have mercy and to be charitable. Now, you understand the contrast I'm making there. For the person that is still under the dominion of sin, there's always a reason not to. For the person who's led by the Spirit, there's always a reason to do it. To show mercy. To give help. To lend a hand. To provide what's needed. There's always a reason to do it. They don't argue themselves out of it. They argue themselves into it. See? Turn it around. It's the way it is. It's like that verse, you know, talking about... never mind. I'll get off on another track there. I'll skip that. This is one reason why charity is the banner of the child of God. It's his identifying mark. It's his uniform that he wears. Song of Solomon says in chapter 2, verse 4, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Those who will walk the streets of heaven will be those who love people and showed mercy here on earth. You can take that to the bank. You hear me? Y'all still awake? Y'all still listening? The ones who are going to walk the streets of heaven are going to be the ones who had charity here on earth. God's preparing a place for them that love Him. And if you love Him, you'll love your neighbor. Love will be the mark of your life. It'll be the banner over your life. Love. Not any of these other things. You know, you can be all of these other things and not have charity. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 a while ago, didn't we? All the things you can be. Understand all mysteries and all the prophesy and everything. Give yourself to be burned and give all your goods away. You can do all that and be that kind of a person and still bust hell wide open. Man, that ought to be a sobering thought to you right there. God's trying to get you to understand something deeper than this superficial, fake and phony, to be seen of men kind of religion. He's probing deep into your soul and showing you that this is what it's like. This is what real saving faith in a person looks like. This is what it looks like. It doesn't look like, yeah, I made a profession of faith. I've been baptized. I'm a member of so-and-so church. That ain't what it looks like. It ain't just people that do great benevolent works. It doesn't look like, well, we had 150 saved in our church this year. We baptized 700. And where's the other 550 or whatever? Huh? I mean, that ain't what it looks like. This is what it looks like. Charity. It's goodwill toward man. All men, everybody, it's goodwill toward them. That's what charity looks like. Those who are able to always find a reason and a way to withhold mercy, kindness, benevolence, even to their enemies, will not be spending eternity with God in heaven unless there's a great change wrought in their souls before they leave this world. Did you hear me? Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 through 43. I'm going to read this. I'm going to read one more verse and I'm going to quit. Jesus said, then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, this is the judgment, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Now, all right, find me some preacher, some college professor, some infidel sitting in a church pew that says hell has no fire. And let me read him this verse and get him to explain it to us. Prepared for the devil and his angels, for I... Now, they're cast aside. Why? For I was a-hungry, and you fed me not. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. You found a reason that I didn't deserve it. You found a reason to just ignore me. You found a reason to condemn me. You gave me no drink. I was a stranger. You took me not in. I was naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. And you know what they said? They said, when saw we this way? When did we see thee naked and in prison and all that? He said, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not to me. It's as unto the Lord. You refuse to have mercy, God's counting it as your spit in his face. It's not between you and that person. It's you and God. You didn't show mercy to me, he said. I was sick. I was in prison. I was naked. And you didn't do anything for me. You didn't help me. Well, Lord, but when did we see thee that way? Oh, remember that one old boy? Remember that girl? Remember that time that you did that person that way? You turned them away? Remember? That was me. He counts it as to him. Obviously, don't he? James chapter 2, verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy who has shewed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. The big deal in judgment, I'm about to put that in my pocket and it's recording a message here. You want to face God that way? Charity toward all men. Coming up on Christmas here, everybody's going to be reading these Christmas verses and thinking about the angels and how they came that night. And for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he talked about peace on earth, goodwill toward man. That's what he did. That's what he does in the hearts of his people. Sure does. You can see it, man. We go through the New Testament and show you how it is. Boy, I mean, that's the way it is. That's what a true Christian is. That's the result of growth and grace. You know, somebody just gets saved, they're a babe in Christ, we can expect them to stumble around a while. We can expect to see some carnality in their life. I believe that. Yep. For a while. We ought to be patient with people. But now listen, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Everybody grows up. And physically, they don't mess around. Boy, they grow up pretty fast. People that are really alive in Christ, they ought to grow up. And when they grow up, this is what they look like. This is what God's family looks like. Y'all understand? It's the truth. No, I'm telling you the truth. Growing in grace, charity. Let's stand. Every week I'm kind of grieved because I didn't study more about it, because as I study, it just opens up and there's just so much more. There's so much more I could have said this morning. I just have to kind of cherry pick through the truths and present the basic, most important aspects of it and hope you'll get it. Lord, help us. Father, we thank you for your word. I do thank you for the truth that we see. Thank you for the proof in our life when we can look and see your working in our hearts and lives. And Lord, we know, standing here this morning, we know, every one of us do, me included, that there's more that needs to be done in our life in this area. There's still times when we harden our heart against others, when we close our hands, we close our hearts, and we close our minds and refuse to listen, refuse to reach out, refuse to give, and refuse to deny ourselves. Lord, help us. I beg you, Lord, this morning, Spirit of God, that you'd tighten the reins on all of us as we walk out of here, that we would live our lives in a way that would really show the world that we belong to you and what you're like. Help us, Lord. The influence is great against us. The darkness is deep around us. The light's dim. The examples are few. Lord, we need you. We need you to work in our lives. Please help us today to receive this as the truth, each of us, and look at ourselves in the mirror, not at other people. Lord, this is, if there's somebody here that's thinking right now about somebody that really needs this, and they better listen to it. Oh, Lord, God, help them. Everybody here, and me included, I say these things and I look at myself. I think about myself. I think about my own inward thoughts. Whatever everybody else does, I ain't got no control over that at all. It's me, oh Lord. And I need to examine myself and do diligence to myself in this matter. I pray everybody else would do the same this morning. Help them. Help us all in Jesus' name. Amen.